From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Noah Adams. Close to a year ago on this program, we began a series of interviews with Tom DiBaggio, owner and operator of DiBaggio Herbs in Chantilly, Virginia. Tom DiBaggio has early onset Alzheimer's disease. He was diagnosed in April of 1999 when he was 57 years old. Our interviews, which have included Tom's wife Joyce and his son Francesco, have been about the daily difficulties of coping with the progression of Alzheimer's. Last week, we returned for another visit, driving out into the Virginia countryside to the DiBaggio Greenhouse near Chantilly. They're open now for the Christmas season, selling rosemary and scented geraniums and a surprising array of lettuce.
That's a fall crop. Most of those lettuces will go through the winter.
Italian dandelion?
There's some Italian dandelion there, a couple of radicchios, another Italian salad green.
Tom DiBaggio has just received some boxes of new books. He's the co-author of The Big Book of Herbs. It's a project that took several years' work. He has been called the best rosemaryologist in the country. And if you grow rosemary plants, you get to name them. One variety is called Joyce DiBaggio.
He chose several members of the extended family and the immediate family to name plants for. So my mother and father both have lavenders named for them. His mother has a rosemary.
Well, that's pretty impressive. There are plants in there from England and Ireland and Corsica and all over.
Yeah.
Well, most wild things, when they come into people's hands, suddenly get a name put on them, because in the wild, they didn't have a name.
What I'd like to know, Tom, is what it was like when you opened this box of books, or the first one that you saw, a first finished book.
I should have written that down. I don't remember it at all. Part of the problem that I've had, I sometimes don't even understand what I've written years ago.
You mean if you would go back through this book, you would have difficulty reading it?
I probably wouldn't have too much difficulty reading it. It's possible I'd even recognize something that I wrote, but what's in there is not clear to me now. I mean, I don't think I can remember much of anything about that book. I can remember Linda coming to my backyard, the publisher coming to my backyard and talking about it.
And that was a long time ago.
It was probably 12 years ago.
I was just wondering if you have that visual image in your mind of her being in your backyard.
No, it wouldn't be correct anyway.
It wouldn't be correct?
Even if I had it. No, I don't have an image. Almost all the images are gone. I can remember images from, in general, when I wake up in the middle of the night, there are these almost realistic movies that come just before I go to sleep. I lie down and I shut my eyes, and usually the first thing I see are bright white lights. Not darkness, bright white lights. And that'll shift, and there'll be sometimes colored lights, and sometimes, kind of in the background of my brain is sensing, is something out of a Tom Mix movie.
Tom Mix?
Movie.
The Western cowboy?
Uh-huh.
Cowboy?
But it's not moving. I mean, it's like what stereopticon. It's like a stereopticon, seeing it like you would through a stereopticon. And then it'll go away. It's very peculiar. It's not frightening in any way. But I wish the hell I wouldn't have it so I could get to sleep faster.
I'm surprised to hear you say that you don't recall the scene of meeting with your editor for the first time, your publisher. Do you recall your marriage, for example? Can you sort of see that visually, the day you got married?
I don't remember. Let's see. I do remember some things. I can't talk to you about them on the radio.
Let the record show you're smiling.
Mm-hmm. I do remember some of that.
How are things going with short-term memory? I mean, you drove out here today from your home in Arlington all the way out to Chantilly.
Yeah, I could probably almost drive out here blindfolded.
Yeah, he doesn't drive to new places. And when we went to Wilmington, I drove because things have changed and would be confusing.
If you wanted to go to the hardware store, for example.
I can picture it in my mind. I know where to go. I have to be able to picture it in my mind. If I can't run the whole thing over in my head before I go, I don't go.
You mean the route?
Yeah, the way I've got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't picture that, I can't. Like several months ago, I was going up to the bookstore, and I got down to. What's that?
Route 50.
Yeah, to Route 50. I was to go up to the bookstore, and I got to Route 50, and I didn't know why I was there. I mean, it was blank. I knew where I was, but I didn't know why. So I turned around and went back home. That's the first time when because I started out knowing where I was going, but in between, that's the kind of thing that happens first. And at about that point, I seriously started thinking about when I should drive the car and when I shouldn't.
Francesco, have you had the thought that your dad would get in the car someday and just wind up lost someplace? I mean, is that...
It's crossed my mind, but he seems to be as reasonable as he can be now. When we went places, I drove.
What you're saying, Francesco, is that he has, in a way, a good attitude about it, a very practical attitude about it.
Practical. I mean, he realizes that he may have trouble from the outset, so it doesn't put himself in that situation. You know, we didn't start out with him driving and have to pull over and switch drivers because he got confused or anything. He knew that was a possibility.
So it's not going to be... A problem when the time comes that you can't drive anymore. You don't think it's going to be a problem for you. You're not going to get...
I'm not going to fight over it, no.
Well, you can say that now, but his state of mind may be different. When he reaches that point, when he can no longer drive, he may not have the same outlook.
No, I
the
have...
Time, so things may have changed in his mind.
Yeah.
And it may be a struggle.
The Alzheimer's Association had a big picnic and
walk.
Yeah. And a walk. Walked a lot and picnicked a little. And while we were there, Joyce bought me
a
bracelet. So that if I turn up in somebody's front yard and don't know who I am or where I belong, there's a number on there that they can call that will identify me.
But and you don't have it on today?
It hasn't come yet. I will wear it all the time, but I'm anxious to have that piece of jewelry, so that I've got it. It'll make me that much safer.
Do you feel in good shape? Do you feel healthy?
Yeah, I feel quite normal. The other thing that happened that was really explosive that happened since I saw you last. Is that I accidentally took an overdose of my medicine at night. And several hours after I went to bed, I woke up. And I began seeing things, and I shouted to Joyce. Joyce hadn't come to bed yet. And I started shouting out because I was sick to my stomach. I didn't know why, and I saw my mother.
Yeah, he didn't know who he was or where he was, and I got a real taste of what it's going to be like. Because he thought I was his mother, and he kept asking for his daddy. And that went on until 5 in the morning, being sick. Actually, the hallucination didn't last that long, maybe half an hour or so.
Well, yeah, then I started to throw up. And it was so frequent and so explosive that I went to the bathroom. Did you have to carry me?
I can't carry you. I helped you, but I can't.
I think I could walk in there fairly well then. So then I got diarrhea, and I mean, it, you know, everything was gone, and I was so weak I didn't think I could get back to bed. And we sat there, and what was it? British radio was on,
BBC
was on, and it had been on. And when I realized BBC radio was on, it was like coming back to Earth. I mean, I realized that it had stopped whatever it was that was happening. But and Joyce helped me get into bed.
Right. You seem in a very positive mood. And I wonder if that holds during the day or through the week. If we were talking some other time, would you be different?
I don't know. I'll ask them that, because I sometimes don't recognize when I'm in a mood that nobody else can stand to be around me. What do you think?
Oh, me. He's amazingly a positive person. It's something I had not, in 36 years of marriage, I hadn't really known the depths of, because I always thought of him as being, you know, cynical and whatever. But the worst times are when he's frustrated, mainly writing or not remembering something, and that's when it's most difficult and most despairing. But other than that, I'm amazed. I wouldn't be able to be as positive. And I'm not.
You're looking forward to working, helping Francesco here with the Christmas season in the greenhouse? And
I'm not looking forward to it, no. I'm going to try and chicken out of some of it. The one thing I like about Christmas time is that's often one of the times when I can come out and see a lot of the people that have been coming to buy plants from us for a long time, and they kind of cluster around Christmas time. So that's one of the reasons I like to come out at Christmas time.
Thank you again, Tom, for talking with us.
Thank you, Noah.
Joyce.
Yes, thank you.
Francesco.
Thank you.
Francesco DiBaggio, Joyce DiBaggio, Tom DiBaggio, speaking with us at DiBaggio Herbs in Chantilly, Virginia. This is All Things Considered.